thing of contagious joy of how the Christian life should be a life of enjoyment. And I hope tonight that you're enjoying your Christianity. Amen. Amen. And, you know, I keep telling myself one of these times when I go down there, I always notice that there's a time when Brother Chapel have all of these people come up. And each year they show about how many of the people that in the past year that got saved. And they have people that come up and you have to go there and see the audience. See the auditorium, and people just line up all over the auditorium about those that got saved in that past year. And what a blessing it is. And then to look at the choir and the orchestra and the choir that's there, it's just tremendous. And what an awesome sight, but their voices and how they carry, it almost seems like sometimes they're going to just lift the roof up off of that building with the echoing of the music that they sing. And then I sit and I watch these people come in, Charmaine, and they all come in and they get a mic and they walk over to, and some they might be already singing, and they walk over to this platform and they stand and they begin to sing. So I'm gonna try that tonight and see if it happens, if I just turn this mic on. And maybe, you know, I think I'll just wait, because y'all will get too overly excited tonight if I go ahead on and sing and break out and do my single solo tonight. So I'm going to just wait and I'm going to save that. So one of these times when y'all are not at the conference and you watch, I'm going to just walk up on the stage and I'm going to just break right out singing. Amen? Amen. I may have to practice that on y'all here at Shining Light Baptist Church first of all, right? So I'll be ready when I get there, right? So I'm working on it, and I'm working on that song. And one of these days, I'm going to just break it out and sing, and y'all going to just laugh and have a fun time. Amen? But I just thought it was just a tremendous thing to go and talk about joy. And I think just like a pastor introduced Brother Bruner and the Brunettes, you know, and we can laugh. Amen. But the Christian life ought to be like that. And we come to the house of God, and we can't enjoy being here. And there's something wrong with our Christianity, because we have everything in the world to be excited about and to be joyful about. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles in. I thought I'd just give you that as a public service announcement, so when it happens, it won't take you all by surprise. Amen. But I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I want you all to stand. And we're going to read two verses tonight. And I'm going to just go back and just highlight some of the things that we've talked about and some of the things I want to talk about tonight. Another one of those areas that I want to talk about that I believe that Paul is addressing here in this area of Scripture. And I believe that it'll help us as Christians if we want to move forward in our Christianity and see how these things can unfold. But one of the things that they talked about at the conference was that God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And I'm going to make that statement, and I'm going to follow up with a couple other things. Notice what it says in verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Let's read in verse 8 and read down to verse 8 down to verse number 11. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandmen. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the messages and psalms that we've heard already tonight and these this morning. We've heard this morning's message, and what a blessing and an encouragement it is to our hearts and lives for the group from Ambassador, and what a joy and a privilege it was for us to have them here this morning and the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for them, and as pastors already prayed, we pray that they've reached their destination safely. But again, Lord, as we gather here tonight under the sound of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, I pray that you, God, would just forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you want to say, what you want to do. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and empty me of self, that we might be used tonight for you, for the honor and glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Bless now, I pray, with the Reyes family and all that they're going through right now, Lord, with loved ones and all that has happened. I pray that you would make your presence known in their lives tonight in a special way that only you can. And we just pray your blessings upon them. And bless us tonight, Lord, that I might speak, thus saith the Lord, and not be just things, the words that I would say, but may we hear from heaven tonight, because it is our desire to be a blessing to your people. And we pray that you speak in a marvelous way. And we ask all of these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to ask this question tonight because I think one of the things we need to ask ourselves, the Bible, as we talked about here in the conference that we went, and one of the first areas of scripture that Dr. Chappell opened was this Bible to this area of scripture. And I just sitting there thinking about this were the things that we were trying to share with you here in the last few beginning of this year, as we talked about, take heed how you build. Now, we can do one of two things. We can be a part of what God's doing, or we can be not a part of what God wants to do. And what is our part when he talks about building his church? I believe that every Christian ought to have a desire to be a part of what God wants to do, is to build his church. And, you know, he's going to build his church whether we want to be a part of it or not. Right, amen. But we need to take heed how we build. And one of the things that I believe that Paul is writing, and that he's trying to get these immature Christians to see, as we had talked about it once before, I think a lot of times as Christians, as he's addressing them, he says, you're acting like children, so I cannot speak unto you as spiritual. You're acting carnal, so you're acting immature in their behavior. And I believe also tonight, as Christians, we got to mature and grow up in our Christianity, so that when we're building on the things that we've looked at in the past, and we're going to touch on just a little bit, but the thing that I want to touch on tonight is, are we building the way that God would have us to build? Amen. If you had to stand before God tonight and give an account for what you've already done, are you really building to be a part of the kingdom that he's building? What is your part in it?
That's right.
How are you building? Because he says, take heed how you build. Because there is no greater foundation that you can build on that's already built besides the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
But we have a part in it. And one of the things that I want to share with you tonight that we probably don't think about a lot is, as Paul is going to talk to us tonight, as I want to share, is about discipling, about discipleship. I want to go back over just some of the things that we talked about here in this area of scripture, just to kind of highlight, to give you an idea, those that haven't been here, the things that we talked about. When we look at what Paul is talking about here is immature Christians, and he says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ," because that was the way that they were behaving. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear them, neither are you yet able to do it because of their behavior. So we looked at this observation that he was given. He gives the explanation, because here they were hung up on the Paul and Apollos. Look at verse number 5. He says, who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos hath watered, but God hath given the increase. So Paul is telling him, he's giving them an explanation of their showing their immaturity, but he also talks about the recognition, because there's going to be one day that we're going to stand before God. We're either going to have wood, hay, or stubble, or we're going to have gold as precious things that we're going to be able to give back and put at God's feet because of what we've done. But he tells us and gives us a declaration here as well in verses 13 through 15. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest of the day and shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work and if it what sort it is. Because there is going to come a time that you're going to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account for what you've done. And if it's not that which can withstand the fire, it's going to be burned up and it's going to all be worth nothing. And he didn't want that for them. So we saw the declaration. But he also talks about the destruction. He wanted them to realize, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of God? We should not be doing just anything with our bodies, because our bodies are the temple of God. And we're going to have to give an account to God for what we do in these bodies. And I know that most of us, a lot of us just like me, we like to eat. Amen.
Amen.
And we abuse them bodies by overfeeding them. Sometimes we do. Last night we went out with the people from Ambassador, and we just sit down there and just gluttony and got full, and I couldn't even hardly move after I got there, but it was so good. But it's not just the overeating. My wife's back there said, it wasn't her, it was just me. Amen. Okay. But it's not just the eating, but what else do we do with our body that is pleasing to God? What else are we doing? Where do we take it? What do we do with it? So those things are important too. But the thing that we talked about last Sunday night, or the last Sunday that we talked about, not only destruction of how we use our body, but we talked about deception. Look at what he says here about deception in verse number 18. He says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knoweth the heart, know the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. And one of the things he says, take heed that you don't deceive yourself. A lot of us as Christians, we grow up in our Christian life, and we believe that we got a handle on things, and we don't go to God and seek his wisdom. And we looked at Solomon, who was the greatest of probably all of the kings that are ever spoken of in the Bible. He went to God because he knew he did not have what he needed to lead God's people. And he was just a young boy. And how many of us as Christians are in our adult life and thinking that we got the gist on all of it? We really do. And I think about this morning, as pastors already shared with us, about this passing of this law, this word to the Supreme Court, about giving the gay their rights and making them just as equal with marriage the way that was spoken of and ordained by God. They want the same rights. They want the same privileges. You know what? We can agree with it. We can try to push it and hide it on the rug. But when you run across the word of God, it is still wrong in the eyes of God. And God is the one that we're going to have to give an account to. And we don't have to agree with it, but we don't have to go along with it either. And one of the things why he says the wisdom of this world is foolishness, because any time that you want to do something and have something like that happen and you want to leave out God, it's vain and it's foolishness to God. Because there's nothing that should happen in our lives as Christians, and even in a Christian nation, if we're going to still call ourselves Christians, and we're going to leave God out. That's why he says vain and it's foolishness. Because it doesn't make any sense. You think about it, go back in our history of how in society and even in schools, they want that you can't bring your Bible to school. They don't want you to read publicly in reading your Bible. They don't want you to pray in school. They don't want you to do those things publicly in the public schools. But when you leave God out, look at the disastrous things that are happening in our society, a society that is godless and don't want to put God first in their life. And we're going to do the same thing as Christians. If we won't leave God out, we're not going to be successful in our Christian life. And I want to talk to you tonight about another verse here. As Paul has come through here, I want us to look at verse number 21. And he says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all of yours, all of yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. I want us to talk to you tonight about, I believe, what Paul is telling them, and again, he's getting to the point of this division that was taking place in the church. He was also getting to the fact that they were being immature Christians, but if we're not what God would have us to do, we're not winning the lost people and discipling them and making disciples out of them, we're not building on the right foundation, because the foundation that we ought to be building on as Christians is reproducing ourselves into society. And that's what he talked about when we was at the conference talking about building. God says against the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'm going to build my church. But we have to ask ourselves as Christians, am I doing my part in this building that God wants to do through me? Or am I going to be the one that's going to be left out? Because he still is going to build his church. And I want you to see this tonight, because Paul is talking to them, again, I believe, about discipleship. He says, therefore, let no man glory in men. Why is that so important? Here they were. Again, we go back and look at what Paul is talking. What is he talking about? Because they were wanting to build their relationship on Paul and Apollos, because our relationship ought to be built on Jesus Christ. And that's what he's trying to explain to them when he's talking about that. Why is discipleship so important? It's one of the things that's neglected today in the Christian life. We got to win them, but we also got to disciple them. And one of the things I think about discipleship tonight, as he's talking about there, about let no man glory in men. I remember when I first got saved as a Christian, one of the things that y'all heard me say, and I think about it even as going to the conference, I praise God for a man that came and knocked on my door named Pastor Gary Kraft. Teresa and I got saved. And we began to grow in the church, and we didn't get discipled until we actually came to Bethel. Can you believe that? I never got discipled until I came to Bethel Baptist Church just before we came out to start this church. And I got saved in 1986. We went to from Turtle Home Baptist Church to Germany, to Eiffel Baptist Church. Never got discipled until I came to Bethel Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona. But I praise God that he knocked on my door. And one of the things that I did as a young Christian that he did, he taught me as a young Christian, one of the things he did teach me was, Kenny, don't follow me, follow Christ. And I made up my mind then when I got saved that if I'm going to live for God, it's going to be for God, and it's not going to be before Pastor Kraft. I'm going to live for God. And when he got ready to leave the church, he asked me, and y'all hear me say it many times, Kenny, if I leave, what are you going to do? I'm going to serve the Lord. Why am I going to serve the Lord? Because that's what he taught me that I ought to do. And when we build our relationship on men, we're not building for the glory of God. You think about it. If you're following a man in Christianity, you will give up and quit if it's because of Pastor Kraft or if it's because of Greg Dawson that you come into this church. You'll give up on him. And they will disappoint you. But when your relationship is built in Jesus Christ, you will never fail. Because man will fail you and man will disappoint you. But God will never fail you, and God will never disappoint you if you follow him. And I made up my mind that day, back then, that I was going to follow Christ. And that's why he's telling them not to glory in men. Don't give me the glory. I'm just a minister of God. Don't follow me and Paul or Apollos. Don't build your life around us. Build your life around Jesus Christ. Because that's where it needs to be. And make disciples, because here he was trying to disciple them and build them up in their faith, and they wanted to lay all of their faith and all their trust in man, and you ought not do that. Paul said, you'll be disappointed in me, and I don't want that. I want you to grow in the things of God. And that was the precept that he gave them about what he was telling them that they ought to do. Don't glory in men. Don't build your life around me. Let it be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you follow me, I guarantee you everything that happens to you in your Christian life, it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Because it's not built on the right foundation. It ought to be on Jesus Christ. So we see here, he's telling them about this in verse number 21. We see he says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. He not only gives them this precept because it would bring disappointment, it would bring discouragement, but he wanted them to understand the possession of this discipleship that they have. Look at verse number 21 again. Because he says, all things are yours. Think about what Paul is talking about. In verse number 5, he says, who then is Paul and who then is Apollos, but ministers who you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. And he's saying the same thing in verse number 22. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, life, death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. In other words, he's talking about not only was the things that were theirs, but he was talking about the evangelism or the evangelists that they were in starting churches. They were theirs. They were ministers that had ministered to them and won them to the Lord, and now he wanted to see them to grow. Not only was he talking about the evangelist, but he was talking about the environment now. He's talking about the world. Everything that you have, we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the evangelist, but the earth or the world or the environment, all of it was yours. You think about it this tonight as a Christian. If everything that Jesus Christ has is yours, why in the world would you follow another man? Why would you follow them? When you have everything, it belongs to you. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe Paul couldn't emphasize it enough. And not only talking about the evangelist and the environment, but he's talking about the existence. You have life, or death. It doesn't matter. As a Christian, I can live the Christian life now, and if I die, I'm going to go on to glory. How great, what more could we ask for? We can live a Christian life right now, and when we die, we're going to go and be with the Lord. Amen. That ought to be exciting. That ought to excite every one of us as Christians. Why do I need to follow somebody else? I can follow Jesus Christ with what I already, he says, whether life or whether death, all those things are yours. That's what he wanted them to see. Don't follow me, is what he's saying. Follow Christ. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the evangelist, we see the environment, we see the existence here, but you notice even events, the things present that are happening. When you think about the things in your life that are happening presently in your life, sometimes it may seem like it's discouraging. But think of all the blessings that you have in your life today and tonight. The blessings of life or that you have right now, the things present or the things to come. And if we build on the right thing, one of these days we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he's going to reward us for what we have done. But if we haven't done anything, we ought not expect anything. And if you're building it on the wrong things, when you stand before God, those things are going to be burned up. And that's what Paul is talking to them about, because he said, take heed how you build. Build on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, nobody else, because you're going to stand before him. Every one of us is going to stand before God. So he's telling them about the things that exist that they can look forward to, the events of him coming. One day he's going to return. But not only does he tell them about the precept that he gives about this discipleship, the possessions that they have as disciples, that you ought to be living for God. Don't live for me, but live for God. But notice the position of these disciples that he wanted them to understand as well. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and what they have, the Savior and the position that he in. Turn over with me to 1 John, or John chapter number 1. I want to look at a verse that's over there, John chapter number 1. And as we would just go over to John chapter 1, it is probably one of the most profound areas of Scripture that introduces our Lord Jesus Christ and show his deity and show him how he came into existence or how he was and who he was. But notice what he's saying that we have. Look at verse number 10 of John chapter 1. He says this. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you're here tonight, you have a Savior in Jesus Christ. You are in a unique position because he has made you, not only as we said already, joint heirs, but he has given you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And it wasn't done by the will of the flesh. It was done by the power of God. So the position that you're in, and notice the security that they had also, as we turn back over to our text and look at it, he says, well, the Paul, he says, therefore, let no man glory in men for all things of yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. So he sees the Savior and reminding them the position that they had as disciples. Notice the security that they have also in Christ. Turn back with me over to John chapter number 10. I love this area of Scripture. When you witness to somebody and want to tell them about what they can have or who they have when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 25. Jesus is talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to those that were questioning him and challenging him about who he was. Jesus answered in verse number 5 and answers says, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do, my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. And think about it tonight, the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Gregory to come up here. Many of y'all have seen this illustration. Gregory, you come up, have seen this illustration before. because he wants them to understand the security that they have. Nothing can happen to them apart from Jesus Christ. I want you to think about, here's his life. And here we talking about Gregory could come to know Christ the Savior. And the security that he has now, he says, no hand is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You think about, here's Gregory. His is your life, Gregory. And you could put your life into your hand, into Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because now he has saved you, if that was your life. Not only do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, but God the Father is part of that as well. And not only do we have God the Father and God the Son, but we have God the Holy Spirit. And it would be kind of hard for somebody else to pluck G2 out of the Father's hand. Because we're secured in Christ. Why should I follow any other man? Take heed how you build. Because it ought to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he's saved, he's sealed and secured in Christ. Every one of us is just like that. Tonight that know Jesus Christ as Savior. What do you say? Nobody can take you out of it. He said, nobody can pluck you out of my Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. But if you're following after man, you don't know what God wants for you. Because when they disappoint you and they discourage you, you stop following God because that man may let you down. But God, again, I say he'll never fail you. And Paul was writing, thank you, G. Paul was writing this to them to understand that be true disciples of Jesus Christ. You can't be a true disciple of Jesus Christ if you're following man. You're not really a true disciple if you're following man. So he's trying to get them to understand that don't follow me, but follow Christ. The security that they have, the Savior that they have. All of these things are yours, as he's saying here, the position of the discipleship. But notice not only that, we have to be willing to submit to this position in verse 23, because he says all things are yours. So there's a submission to this. And you know what? Jesus never asked us to do anything that he didn't do himself. And I remember, and I love it in Scripture, where it says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, he says this, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He wanted his Father's will to be done. He says, I am God's, Christ, and you are mine, and I am God's. So he is willing to submit to this discipleship or the life that he's telling us that we ought to have. He was submissive, so we got to be submissive to him, just like he is to his Father. And I think about Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. He wanted them to submit themselves to God wholeheartedly, not just half-heartedly, as we saw this morning in the illustration of the preaching. A lot of us just want to give God part of our lives and not give him all of our lives. But I don't want any part of just anything. This year, that young lady that's sitting back there, so beautiful, in just a few days, we're going to celebrate 34 years of marriage. 34 years. I didn't just want part of her for 34 years. I wanted all of her. And see, when we give our lives to Christ, he don't just want a part of it. He wants all of it. And we need to submit ourselves to him. Just like Christ was submitting, and I think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And he did that for you and I. He did that for you and I. Amen. So we see the position that we can have as disciples, because that's what we should be. And I forgot to do something, and I tell you, I forgot to do something as I begin reading or sharing the message. I want us to think about it, and I forgot all about it. I just get so excited. I want you to think about it, because this probably makes more sense, and I don't know how I overlooked it. But the definition of a disciple. What is a disciple? Pastor, why you keep talking about it? What is a disciple? This is the definition of a biblical disciple. A disciple is a follower, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrine of another. A Christian disciple is a person who accepts and assists in the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ. They could not be involved in this and accepting and assisting in the spreading of the gospel if they were following Paul. They had to be accepted and assisted in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we got to do. And that's why we ought to be disciples of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is writing to them about. Just hold on. We're going to get there tonight. And not only do we see the precept that he gave, but the position or the possession that they had, the position that they were in. But I want us to notice tonight the prompting of the disciples. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter number 28. Very familiar area of scripture that you and I as Christians, if we're going to be what God would have us to do, there are some things that we ought to do. And we want to be sure that what we're building on, that it's going to last. We got to be involved in getting the gospel message, assisting, accepting the responsibility, assisting in getting the message out. If we're going to help him to build this church that he's going to build, if we want to be a part of it. You hear what I said? If we want to be a part of it. Do you want to be a part of that building tonight? So he says, take heed how you build. Because if we're going to build, we got to be willing to be the disciples as the one that he's given them this great commission in Matthew chapter 28. This is the prompting of the discipleship. Notice the part of the discipleship we see here in verse number 28 and verse number 19, verse 16. This is where we come to the prompting. Notice what he says here. Jesus has already went to the cross. They were trying to say that he hadn't risen from the dead. They were willing to pay others to say something to lie about what had happened. But he says in verse number 16, as he's talking to his disciples, verse number 16 says, then the 11 disciples, there that word right there, went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Always, even until the end of the world. So the prompting of the disciples were to be this part of the discipleship, the first thing they needed to go. Let me say this tonight, in all loving and kindness that I can think of, because I feel like in my own life, I haven't been the witness that God wants me to be. And if we would be honest with ourselves, we haven't witnessed for God. We haven't been the true disciples. Are we going out sharing the gospel the way that we ought to? Now, we can go to Lancaster and we can get excited about it, but you know what? Pastor can't build this church by himself. It is not his responsibility of his own. It's part of our responsibility as Christians. Amen. To go out and make disciples. That's right. We got to be willing to go. That is our part, is to go. How many of us are going the way that we ought to? See, we can make excuses, and excuses are a dime a dozen, because every one of us got excuses as to why we don't go. But you don't have to answer to me. You're going to have to answer to God. And I don't have to answer to you, but I'm going to have to answer to God. How can I encourage you to do something that I'm not doing? That's one of the things that I like that Dr. Chappell said on building his church. How can he, as a pastor, try to encourage people to go out and witness if he's not witnessing himself? Amen. You could pay a staff, and some churches think they pay a staff, as he said and shared. There's some churches that pay a staff and think that the staff members are the only ones that have to go out and share the gospel. Mm-hmm. But they were his 11 disciples. They weren't a staff. They were disciples. What are you tonight? How are you building? Right. Take heed how you build. You know, you don't have to go out on Saturday mornings. What's wrong with Monday? What's wrong with Tuesday? What's wrong with Wednesday? You know, you ought to be in church on Wednesday. But that's a witness as well, because you're in the house of God. What about Thursday?
Right.
What about Friday? And heaven forbid, you ought to come on Saturday if you don't come on those other days. And you don't have to go when I go. Go when you can go. What's wrong with handing out a tract? What's wrong with sharing what God has done in your life? And you can say, I don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord. I don't know how to be a witness. Just tell them what God done for you.
Amen. That's right.
That's all you got to do. I remember when I first got saved, there was a guy that I was stationed with in Edwards in California. Can you believe that? We were stationed out there in Lancaster one time. And I remember when he came to Turtle Home, Spain, I had just got saved. His name was Mormy Loman, and I could not wait to share with him what I did. I got saved. I don't know how to tell you to get saved, but let me take you to my pastor.
Amen.
And Pastor Kraft led him to the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't know what to tell him. All I needed to tell him, Brother Hall, I got saved. I know that I was saved from a devil's hell, and I was on my way to heaven, and that ought to be enough to share with anybody.
Amen.
And see, Paul says, I water, some planted, but God gives the what?
Increase.
God gives the increase.
Right.
That's what he wanted them to understand. God wants you to be disciples. We got to be willing to go. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we got to be willing to go. Let me not get ahead of myself here. So first of all, there's a going. But what are we going to do? We're going to go and carry forth this message. We're going to assist. We're going to accept our responsibility as disciples to go into all nations. He said, go ye therefore to all nations. That is the place where we're to go, to all nations. You know what? We may not be able to go around the world, but we can go through missions. But what about our nation? There's our nations tonight needs the gospel just as worse as any foreign field in all the world.
Amen.
That's why we got the law that was passed. Because we're not willing to go.
That's right.
I can't change the White House, but I can change the house across the street.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
I think about Brother Perkins. I prayed for them before they moved across the street from where we, Teresa and I, live. I remember praying for them that God would give them an opportunity to witness to them. Y'all hear me say it before. I waited till Mike went out to the mailbox. I'm looking out my window. And I saw them going to the mailbox. I go right out there behind them. When they got to the mailbox and turned around, they saw this guy standing right there. How y'all doing? Let me invite y'all to church. Let me tell you about a church. Mike and Cindy said, well, we can't come this Sunday, but we'll come next Sunday. The next Sunday that they came, they got saved.
Amen.
And they're serving God. You know what? I'll be honest. I've had other neighbors move across the street, and I haven't gone to the mailbox. Help me, Lord, because I haven't been the witness that I ought to be. What about you? I'm just going to be honest, because I know that I haven't witnessed the way that I ought to. What about you? See, I can't just stop with Brother Perkins. I need to reach the neighbor that's there now. And I haven't told him about the gospel. My coworker next to me died. I didn't tell him about the gospel. He was Mormon. But you know what? He may be in hell tonight. Because I didn't share the gospel with him. What about those people that are in the grocery store? That you go in there, sometimes you go into the commissary, or you go into Fry's, or you go into Lowe's, or you go into, what's another one? Safeway, Subway. And you talk to people all the time. How many times have you not given them a tract? How many times have you not shared the gospel with them? That's part of the going.
Amen.
And the all nations is not just the world outside of the U.S., but what about our nation? If we're going to make a difference in this community, we got to be willing to go across the street. We got to be willing to be a witness in our neighborhoods. And I'm guilty of that. And God convicted my heart. Because am I doing my part? Or are you doing your part? See, we need to take heed how we build. And one of the things I learned through this conference is we're not willing to be transparent. I'm not trying to tell you I'm a super saint. I'm just telling you I'm going to be a servant of God. because somebody came and told me.
That's right.
And I saw Pastor Kraft at the conference, and I tell you what, my joy and my heart was excited because he took the time and knocked on our door and shared the gospel with us. And I'll never forget that.
Amen.
Because he was willing to share the gospel. And I think about what I said years ago, and not because of anything that I did, but it was the commitment that I made to God. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to serve God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So there's the going to all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them. What are we going to do? Baptize them into the church. Baptize them by immersion.
That's right.
As he's talking about. Because we want them to learn it the right way. Baptizing them in what? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them what? Teaching them the same things that you and I have been taught about the gospel so that they can do what? They can reproduce themselves.
That's right.
That's the only way it's going to happen. If you and I are willing to do that and become the disciples that God wants us to be. And I'm guilty. I have not done all that I could do for the glory of God. But if you be honest with yourself tonight, have you done it? Have you done that? We can make excuses. Or just pastor do that. Deacon Hall will do that. Pastor White will do that. But what about you? What about you? You can go hangers on a door anytime. That's still being a witness. Having a tract that you could give to somebody. That's being a witness. Because you'll never know what God would do with that. But if we don't do it, we'll never know what God will do. Because we haven't done anything at all. Am I scared when I go? Yeah. Have you ever been knocked on a door and you're hoping that they don't answer? A lot of times we're saying we want the witness. But you know what? I think a lot of Christians, we look at people and we decide whether we want to share it with them because they don't want to listen. But you never know. Because there are people that are hurting and need Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know they need Christ,
right.
But you and I know that they need Christ. And we ought to be willing to share it with them. Take heed. How are you building? Will it stand the test of time? It's so easy. And even sometimes it's not that easy either here when people come and they might raise their hand and say they're not saved. And you talk to them, you conversate with them. What's wrong with asking them, are they saved? We ask them where they're from. We ask them what they at. We ask them where they work. We ask them what kind of car they drive. We ask them how many kids they got. Why not ask them, are they saved? If you die tonight, do you know for sure you go to heaven? That's just the greatest question, icebreaker that you could ever ask anybody, because you know what? Heaven and hell rests on the fact of what they say. And you never know, because if you don't ask them, you never know that they are saved. Because they may not be. So there's going and there's discipling. What are we doing? Discipling them to become disciples just like we ought to be, because that's who he's talking to. He's prompting his disciples to go out. And we want to baptize them. We want to teach them what? Teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you. Not only do we see the prompting, but we also see the promises. The promises. Notice what he says in verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We see here the promises to the disciples or to the disciple. The essence of this promise is that God is going to go with you. I don't know about you. I can be fearful of a lot of things. But when I know that the presence of God is with me, because he is, because the Holy Spirit of God indwells me. So wherever I go, the presence of God will go with me. I can be a witness. I can tell somebody about him, because he's promised me that. And not only, he says, to the end of the world. In other words, he's going to be with us until he comes back again through his Holy Spirit. We're not asked to do anything on our own. We're asked to be disciples. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to them. Think of all the things that you have in Jesus Christ. Why you want to follow me? Follow Christ.
That's right.
Don't follow me. Follow Christ. Because I may disappoint you. I may discourage you along the way, but God will never discourage you. God will never disappoint you. And all things are yours. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the pastors. He's given us the preaching. He's given us the teaching. He's given us his word. He's given us his promise. He's placed us in a position that nobody can take you away from him. And you said this morning, you're as close to God as you want to be. You don't want to be close to him. You don't have to be. And he'll never force himself on you. He didn't force you to get saved. He won't force you to draw nigh to him. And he says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So what about you tonight? Are you building on the right things? How are you building tonight? Take heed how you build. Don't glory in men, but glory in God. All things are yours. Whether life, whether death, what things present, what things to come, all are yours in Christ because of what God has already provided to us as Christians. God wants us to be disciples. What about you tonight? What are you doing for the cause of Christ? Are you building? Are you a part of what he's building? You can be a part of it by choice, and you cannot be a part of it by choice. Life is all about choices. We can figure out tomorrow what we're going to do and something to come up tonight. Let me just say this. I'm going to close. You can, if something comes up right after you leave this building of something that you need to do tomorrow, you'll figure out how to do it. And if you make God the first priority, spend time with him, witness and tell other people about him, you know what? You'll do that too if you make it a priority in your life. I haven't made it the first priority in my life. And I'm just being honest with you. I know I haven't. Because if I had, I wouldn't have been convicted about it. And see, that's what preaching is all about. It's about convicting us of things that we do not do. And it's amazing how much God reminds us over and over. We think we're so smart, but yet we really aren't. Because if he didn't have to remind us, Paul wouldn't keep emphasizing it. In every book you go through, from Genesis to Revelation, he's talking about God. He's talking about the Savior. And if he's yours tonight, you ought to tell somebody else about it. It's better than gold. It's more precious than gold. It's worth more than most people think today. $1 million is not a whole lot. But if even it was $1 billion, eternity in heaven would be greater than that, because you can't take that $1 billion with you. But you can take lost souls with you to Christ. And you can take them to heaven. Let's just be honest with ourselves tonight. We need to take heed how we build. If we're going to be true disciples of accepting and accepting and existing and carrying forth the gospel, we got to be willing to be the disciples that God can use. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for tonight. And Lord, as I just think about my own life, and this passage of scripture, how I didn't do it any justice, dear God. I know I didn't. But I beg on the grace of God, based on the word of God, not only tonight, Lord, that you would speak to my heart, but you would speak to the hearts of the believers that are here tonight under the sound of my voice. God, I don't want anything to be done for my honor and for my glory. Paul didn't want that from the church at Corinth. He wanted them to be in you. He wanted them to be followers of Jesus Christ, not the follower of Paul or Apollos or Cephas or even Peter. He wanted them to be that of Jesus Christ. God, help us tonight. Help me to be a greater witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just want to be honest. I need it to hear the things that I heard when I was in Lancaster. But I needed to hear the things that you've laid on my heart tonight to share as well. And I pray that each person that was under the sound of my voice heard something that would prompt them about where they are and how they are building. Because one day, we're going to stand before you. God, help us not to be ashamed. That when we stand before you, say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. God, how I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to go. I want to share. I want to teach the right truth. Be willing to be taught, but be willing to teach as well. There are many Christians tonight who have never been discipled. They've never really learned the true value of their Christian life. And Lord, until we're willing to submit ourselves to the discipleship and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, we can never reach other people until we're willing to do that. Help us tonight, God, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around but me. How many tonight would be honest before God and say, Pastor White, I want to be transparent tonight too. I haven't been the witness that I ought to be. Pray for me tonight as well in your closing prayer. Hands are going up all over the place. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and you can't say with 100% surety that you know if you die, you're on your way to heaven. See, you can't be a true disciple of Christ until you know Christ as Savior. God, help that person that's here tonight that cannot raise their hand in true honesty and say that they are a child of God. Is there anyone here tonight that just be honest? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not even trying to embarrass even those that have already raised their hand about not being disciples. But if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you die, you go to heaven, would you slip your hand up where you sit right now tonight? I'm going to pray for you as well. And I have pastor to pray for you as well. Is anyone here like that tonight? Well, amen. So then we all here tonight by testimony of raised hands that we truly ought to be the disciples that Paul is talking to here at the Church of Corinth. But not just to them, Lord, you're talking to us tonight as well. God help us. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to have a hymn of invitation to play. If God has spoken in your heart, maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and beg God to forgive you for not being what you ought to be, but asking God also to help you to be what you need to be. And that's a greater witness and a testimony for our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, don't do it for me, do it for him, because he's worth it. He wants us to understand what we truly, truly have in his son, Jesus Christ. And we ought to be willing to share with those that don't know him. We should not be ashamed of who we are and what we are. They're not ashamed of who they are and what they are and who they live for every day of our life, those that walk around us and disown God. And don't believe that he's coming. But God has given us an awesome responsibility. He could have chose many other ways to do what he's asking us to do, but he chose to use you and I. God, help us tonight. Help me to be a greater witness, a greater testimony for you, because you deserve it all. God, I pray for those that raise their hands tonight that you work in their hearts and lives in a special way. Lord, I know that everybody doesn't have to come to the altar. They can stand where they are and pray and ask you to work in their lives. But it is such a greater commitment that we become full to be a testimony to others, to encourage them that we know where you are. You know our hearts anyway, but I pray that you work in a special way in each and every life. I'm going to ask our pastor to come close as he sees fit.